Hello. Is this thing working? Is the light not on? It's working? Okay, cool. I can't tell. So, today we'll be looking at the lost. We're going to be looking at the entire chapter of Luke 15. So, I hope you guys brought your Bible because we'll be doing a lot of reading. This isn't just about lost brothers, this is just about being lost in general. What's going on here is Jesus is trying to make a point to his listeners. And when Jesus makes a point, it's normally a good idea if we listen. What is he trying to point out to the people back then and to the people here at Glen Acres? So first, before we really get into this, let's review the background real quick. Actually, just read the first two verses of Luke 15, 1 and 2. There you go. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. Both Pharisees and scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Alright, so what's going on here? Pretty typical story for Jesus. He's at a party, and there's all sorts of people around. There is the sinners who just want to get as close to him as they can to learn. There's the believers who really believe they should be anywhere they want to be because they already believe, and, you know, if they want to be near, far, whatever. And then there's the people who are just causing problems, the watchers. And they're along the outside making life miserable for just about anyone they can possibly do that. And in the middle of all this confusion and noise, there's Jesus, and he's trying to get these people to listen to a lesson. He's trying to teach them something. So, let's look at what he's teaching. Okay, the first story he gives is Luke 15, 3 through 7. Let's just read that real quick and then we'll talk about it. So he told a parable saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in an open pasture and go after the one which he has lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you, it is the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than the 99 people who need no repentance." All right. I don't know about any of you guys, but me personally, I have never searched for sheep. It's not something I normally do in urban Seattle. So I did some research. It turns out that in rural Israel, that if you were a guy and you weren't a complete grump, you'd probably search for sheep. What apparently sheep do is when they get lost, they just sit down and start crying until someone comes and finds them. So, and the shepherd would come to town and say, "Hey guys, I lost my sheep again." So they'd organize a search party, go out until they found the sheep, brought it home, and then they, you know, with a good time. So, to the people listening, to the men listening, they probably know what he's talking about. And they probably go, "Man, it does feel good to bring home a sheep." I was trying to think of a modern day story, a modern day parable to use, and I couldn't find one. But I do remember my dad telling me the story. He used to have a dog. Its name was Sarah. It was half Malamute, half Lab. And it loved to eat things, like poodles. Anyway, my dad built a 6-foot chain link fence. The dog jumped over that and would run around. So he built a 6-foot by 6-foot by 6-foot box. And from the dead standstill, the dog would jump over that and go run around and get lost. Well, eventually, Dad had to go to court. And he's like, Your Honor, I'm really sorry. I've done everything I possibly can to keep this dog at home. You know? But I've been out all night searching for my dog. And the judge says, case dismissed. I would just spend all night looking for my two dogs, too. Lucky for my dad, but anyway. So we all know what it's like to lose things. And we all know how good it is to feel them. That's find them again. That's the point of the first parable. The second parable is really quick, just 15:8-10. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses a coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls all her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my coin which was lost." In the same way I tell you, there is more joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. Okay. Now, this parable didn't make much sense to me. So I looked up, and every resource I could find got stuck on what this coin is. So just real quick, the coin is probably a silver coin which is worth a day's wages. It was probably in her dowry, made into a necklace or a headband that she wore. So whatever it was, it's not spare change you'd find in your couch. It's something that was very, very important to her. She probably wore it on her wedding day. So now that we know that this coin is important, why did Jesus give this parable? What's the theme he's going for here? Well, it's pretty apparent that she looked really hard to find it. Back then they had dirt floors, and if any of us had been camping or been around Camp Dudley or camp at all, we know that once you drop something in the dirt, it tends to remain there until eternity comes unless you find it really quickly. So she... Especially lit a lamp. Back in those days, oil was very expensive. You know, she did this immediately, and she looked really hard. And when she found it, she felt really good. Just as a quick side note, I thought it was kind of interesting that in the Greek, it's very gender specific when it talks about this verse. She only told her lady friends. I don't know why, but it's very apparent that that's who she told. This got me thinking about my own wife, and sometimes when she's really, really excited and she tells me, I just don't have enough excitement to fully appreciate it. So she calls her sister and anyone else she can think of, and that helps because a sister or a friend who's a girl has just as much excitement and can share and get as excited as she does. So that's, you know, from the best that I can tell, why Jesus told this parable. He's trying to get everybody on the same page. He told a story about the sheep for the guys, because that's something a guy would have done. He told a lost coin, because that's something a girl would have done. And now everyone in the audience, I'm just guessing here, is all of a sudden really listening to Jesus. Okay. I'm interested now. What is he going to talk about? So the point is the same as the first one. We have all lost things. We've all searched for them. And man, does it feel good to find them. All righty. The last parable story Jesus tells is Luke 15, 11 through the end, 32. Now, as I was doing some research, I read this in several different passages, several different versions, and I came across the Message. Now, normally, I wouldn't preach out of the Message because some of the things are inaccurate. I've done the research, and the things that he changes when he writes the Message do not affect the point of the story. So I'm going to read that. You guys follow along in your Bibles, and we'll have a good time. Then he said, Jesus, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, I want what's coming to me now. So the father divided his property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son had packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through the country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen who assigned him to the fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, all those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going to go back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against God, and I have sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me as one of your hired hands. He got right up and went home to his father. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out and embraced him and kissed him. The son started his speech, Father, I have sinned against God and I have sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Then he got the grain-fed heifer and roasted it. We're going to have a feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here. Given up for the dead is now alive. Given up for lost and now he's found. And they began to have a wonderful time. All this time, the older son was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in. As he approached the house, he heard music and dancing. Calling one of the houseboys, he asked, what's going on? He told him, your brother has come home. Your father has ordered a feast. Barbecued beef. Yum. Because he is home safe and sound. Now the older brother stopped off angry and sulked and refused to join in. The father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, look at how many years I have stayed with you and served you, and never given you a moment's grace. But you have even thrown a part. Have you ever thrown even a party for me and my friends? Then this son of yours, who has thrown away your money on loose living, has come home and you give him a feast. His father said, son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time. Everything I have is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we have to celebrate. Your brother, who is dead, is now alive. He was lost and he's now found. Okay. There's three people to the story. It's a parable that many of us have known for years. The three people are the younger son, the dad, and the older son. What's about the story that grabs your attention? Is there anything that was interesting that really kind of grabbed your attention other than the barbecued beef? I mean, that really, wow, barbecued beef, I like that. Alrighty. Let's look at the dad. Okay, who's the dad supposed to be? Well, yeah, God. Or it could be Jesus. You know, he's the good guy in the story. But what qualities, what's about him that just makes you want to grow up and give him a great big hug? Well, he's loving, he's forgiving, he's kind, he's rich, he never gives up on you, he's just, you know, wow, he's everything. Kind of just like God, isn't it? Now let's look at the younger son. Now, this younger son is an easy guy to hate. I mean, wow. He had everything go wrong for him. He was rash. He was rebellious. He was loud. He was annoying. He was dishonorable. He was eating with pigs. Now, that's gross to us, but back in Israel's days,
The pig was one of the most dirty animals you could have. If you touched a pig, you couldn't go to the temple. So if he was, we know Jesus gave this parable in a crowd full of Pharisees. And Pharisees were the teachers, the guys who would have never touched a pig, you know. Ooh. So the younger son is the epitome. He's the description of everything that these guys hated. Yet, the dad forgave him, you know? And now let's look at the older brother really quick. He doesn't look like he has a major part in the story, but I want you to think about this. Instead of calling it the prodigal son, which means the lost son, let's call it the lost sons, because both of the dad's sons were lost. They were both way off track. The elder son was lost, and he never even left home. Let's see here. What was so annoying about the younger son? Let's see here. He was rebellious. Rebellion means not doing what your dad says. He was loud. Well, it doesn't sound like he was exactly quiet when he was talking to his dad. He was dishonorable. He was annoying. Looks like the elder son had a lot of things in common with his younger brother that he might not have realized. Now, but the older brother, I mean, you could, myself, I'd like to cheer for this guy because, you know, he never did the bad things. He never messed up. He never left home and ran away. But you know what? He had his dad there all the time. Looking at his dad in the eyes, and he never figured out what his dad was like. When he had the chance to show some forgiveness, to show some love and some compassion, he missed the boat. Anyway, this is a really good story, and it was pointed to the Pharisees, to the sinners, and to the people listening in Jesus' day. He was telling the sinners, the younger brothers, hey, I still love you. Come, let's learn. He was talking to the older brothers, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, saying, hey guys, it's not too late. One thing interesting about the story, though, is it doesn't tell us how it ends. We don't know what the older brother did. Jesus stops right at the good point, you know, right at the end of the story. When you find out, did the older brother storm off and never walk back in the house? Did the older brother figure out what his dad was trying to tell him? We don't know. Jesus left it up to them to finish the story for themselves. He also leaves the story for us to finish up by ourselves. One thing we find about Jesus' writings is even though it's 2,000 years old, it never gets old. The same things that happened, same people, same situations back then are happening today. If a younger brother were to walk into the doors, would we know what to do? I mean, I live downtown Seattle. There's some pretty scary guys and gals that live downtown Seattle. I'd be a little jumpy if they walked into the church. But you know what? Jesus wasn't. He wasn't. That's the kind of people he was known for hanging out with. I'm going to conclude and let you guys go, but I just want to read this one song to you. It's by Todd Agnew, My Jesus. Which Jesus will you follow? Which Jesus will you serve? If Ephesians says to imitate Christ, why do you look so much like the world? Because my Jesus bled and died. He spent time with thieves and liars. He loved the poor, and he accosted the arrogant. So which one do you want to be? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why did he pray for the blessings for the wealth of this land? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why do we ache for another taste of the world's shifting sand? And who is this that you follow, this picture of the American dream? If Jesus was here, would you walk right by on the other side of the street, or would you fall down and worship at his holy feet? Pretty blue eyes, curly brown hair, and a clear complexion. Is this how you see him as he died for your sins? The word said he was battered and scarred. Or did you miss that part? Sometimes I doubt we'd recognize him. Because my Jesus would never have been accepted in my church. The blood and dirt on his feet might have stained the carpet. But he reached for the hurting and he despised the proud. I think he preferred Beale Street to the stained glass crowd. But I know he can hear me when I cry out loud. I want to be like Jesus. Can I please be like you? I want to be like Jesus. Can we pray? Dear Lord, that song puts it in the exact words. I can't say it any better. Dear Lord, we want to be like you. Please teach us to be like you. Thank you for loving us and taking us where we are and teaching us how to love you. Thank you for putting up with us and being patient with us. Dear Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.